Good afternoon, folks. My name is Craig Moser. I'm here from Philadelphia. It's a wonderful street festival, and you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA.
Tune into special sounds and interesting programs on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Tuesday, October 27th, Amanda Lees and Jenny Getty invite you to put some popcorn on and dim the lights with Jenny and Amanda as they talk about new movies and old ones on the movie show on WGXC at 7 p.m. At 8 p.m., Michael Wilde has mostly singles from 1964 and 1968. From 8 to 10 p.m. before the Battlefield Earth Show with Dan Seward live from somewhere in Hudson on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM on Tuesday, October 27th.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cindy Miller and Matt Lenung of Albany, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
You know, I was listening to the radio and I heard this thing!
90.7 FM, listener-supported radio.
Saturday, October 31st, tune in to all sorts of spooky sounds on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. At 9 a.m., the very scary Donald Trump Theater approaches the election. Then at 3 p.m., we'll hear a feedback virus from Sam Sebrin on his Nothing Is Real radio hour. At 4 p.m. on Halloween, we hear the highlights from Jess Spear's Radio Witch Moon Hotline. She's been taking calls for the past several weeks from locals and others about waves, vibrations, transmissions, and more. You'll hear that at 4 p.m. on the WGXC afternoon show, Halloween Day. Then Corey McClaskin has a Halloween special from The Forgotten Geek at 8 p.m. And The War of the Worlds follows at 10 p.m. All these spooky sounds and more on WGXC 90.7 FM, Halloween.
Good evening. You're listening to WGXC ACRA, radio for open ears. I'm Alana, your host. This is There, monthly broadcast celebrating all manner of performance and performance sounds. Every month we have a theme. This month, it's going to be a little timely. It's election time. I'll be coming in a little later with some early voting information for our listeners, but thanks for tuning in. WGXC broadcasts in Greene and Columbia counties on 90.7 FM and around the world online at WGXC.org.
While some on rights and some on wrongs prefer their own reflections, the people's rights demand our song, the right of free elections, for government and order's sake and law's important sections. Let's all stand by the ballot box for freedom of elections.
Law and order be the state with freedom and protection. Let all stand by the ballot box for fair and free elections.
Each town and county's wealth and peace, its trade and all connections with science, arts must all increase by fair and free elections. Then thwart the schemes of fighting lands and traitor disaffections. Stand up with willing heart and hands for fair and free elections.
Law and order be the state with freedom and protection. Let all stand by the ballot box for fair and free elections.
Should enemies beset us round of foreign fierce complexions, undaunted we can stand our ground, upheld by free elections. Elections are to make us laws for trade, peace, and protection. Who fails to vote forsakes the cause of fair and free elections.
Law and order be the state with freedom and protection. Let all stand by the ballot box for fair and free elections.
Years have passed, it's time again to stage the main event. Election day is drawing near, we'll pick our president. Republicans and Democrats hold national conventions. They build their party platforms to broadcast their intentions. The candidates they nominate will surely have potential. They'll have to campaign long and hard to prove they're presidential. With whistle stops and photo ops and great debates and TV spots, posters, pics, even dirty tricks, they run for president. The key states are the bigger ones with larger populations. They have the electoral votes it takes to win elections. Abe Lincoln, Grant, and FDR, they all got here this way. Be sure your mom and dad get out to vote election day. After whistle stops and photo ops and great debates and TV spots, election day, we'll have our say and pick a president. Exercise your vote.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed, bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Yeah, election time's coming. Who you gonna vote for? Yeah, if I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday, they go back to work on Monday. If I was president, if I was president, if I was president, yeah. Instead of spending billions on the war, I can use that money so I can feed the poor. 'Cause I know some so poor. When it rains, that's when they shower, scream and fight the power. That's when the vulture devours. If I was president, I get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday, they go back to work on Monday. If I was president, if I was president, if I was president, yeah. I know some soldiers that sleep but they can't dream, wake up with screams, sounds of M16. So take this medal of honor for your bravery. I wish you the best, kid. You and your family. If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday, they go back to work on Monday. If I was president, if I was president, was president.
But the radio won't play this. They call it rebel music. How can you refuse it? Children of Moses, telling children the truth. The truth.
It's not all that bling that's diamond.
Yeah. Tell them the truth. The truth.
Most of y'all wear cubic zirconia.
Take it off.
Tell
now.
Them the truth. The truth, yeah.
Your soul is worth more than diamonds.
Yeah. If I was president, all blacks, I had reparation, no segregation. Feed the nation so there's no famine. Muslims, Jews, Christians, with all whole hands. Every week on the beach, party by the sand. Word up, take trips on Air Force One. Don't need to bring the homeless with no sneaks to Air Force One. Better schools in the hood, better teachers for the classes. Making money, paying no tax. Find the best scientists, tell them come up with an answer. I want the cure for AIDS and cancer. But I gotta watch my back. Snipers on the hill with the steel, waiting to JFK.
I was president. I get elected on Friday. Assassinated on Saturday. Buried on Sunday. They go back to work on Monday. If I was president. If I was president. I feel the rain coming. Let me play my guitar for them right now.
Let's go.
Refugees.
Yeah.
August 18th, 1920, Women's Suffrage Amendment ratified.
Women have been fighting for the legal right to vote since the 1840s. In 1890, the National American Women's Suffrage Association, NAWSA, was established with Susan B. Anthony its leading force. But women have been fighting for their rights since the very beginning of time. Then said we couldn't drink, and unless a man allowed it, they said we couldn't think. They said we shouldn't speak till we were spoken to. Well, there was just so much back then we weren't allowed to do. But the first bite of the apple, I guess, revealed the truth. That's when Eve got smart, and that's why Adam don't like fruit. But that old tree of knowledge had some limbs that broke. We had to fight. They said we couldn't vote.
It is the duty of the women of this country to secure for themselves the sacred right to vote.
We carried signs, we cursed the times, marched up and down the streets. We had to fight for women's rights, wore blisters on our feet. We got tired of seeing all our dreams go up in smoke. Burdens more than we could tote, having lies crammed down our throats. But that old finally got the right to vote.
We want to vote. We want to vote.
They said a woman's place was staying in her hut, washing, cooking, cleaning, wiping babies' butts. They said she'd never see the day we'd equal up to them. But here we are, we've come so far, I guess we sure showed them. The first bite of the apple, I guess, revealed the truth. When Eve got smart, and that's why Adam don't like fruit. That old tree of knowledge had some limbs that broke. We had to fight for women's rights. They said we couldn't vote.
Get out of the street, ladies. This is illegal. Move, get out.
We were defiant, I'll admit, but we knew we couldn't quit. Cross the suffrage amendment. We protested, we cried out, finally it came about, ratified by Tennessee, we won at last. And the first bite of that apple, I guess, revealed the truth. That's when Eve got smart, and that's why Adam don't like fruit. But that old tree of knowledge had some limbs that broke. We had to fight for women's rights, we won the right to vote. They thought we were a joke. They tried to dash our hopes with every word they spoke. They tried to revoke a woman's right to vote. But we made it!
And on August 18, 1920, Women's Suffrage Amendment was ratified.
Good evening. You're listening to WGXC Acre. This is There There. I'm your host, Alana, broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Ulster County, COVID style. This is our election special. Hey, guess what? There's an election coming up, you might have heard. I'll have a little bit of early voting information for you in a little bit. So far what we heard, we came in on just a little taste of Vote for Miles. Miles Davis track, first released in 1972. After that, Fair and Free Elections by Oscar Brand. That was from a Folkways, Smithsonian Folkways recording from that was released in 1960, Election Songs of the United States. After that, Schoolhouse Rock, the one and only Schoolhouse Rock. This was a later track that was, I believe, recorded in 2002, Presidential Minute, performed by Jack Shelton. That was written by George Newell and Tom Yohei Jr. After that, we heard an excerpt from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, a little goodie. That scene, I believe it was Graham Chapman, Michael Palin, and Terry Jones, reminding us that you don't vote for kings. That film was released in 1975. And after that, we heard Wyclef Jean, If I Was President, 2016 version, which was released on his Jouvert EP. And after that, Dolly, had to put a little Dolly in there. This is her recent, actually, I guess it was released in 2018, but her song 19th Amendment. It was created for a Radiolab collaboration with the National Constitution Center, 27, the most perfect album. And they were they basically created pieces for each of the 27 amendments. So you can learn things on WGXC. You thought you were here to be entertained? Think again. Actually, you can, you know, you can take it however you take it. Up next, in our election special, a little Pete Seeger.
You probably realize that people disagree violently on their opinions of what social justice is, and they also disagree violently on their opinions of what music is. Tonight, I, like any musician, am highly prejudiced, and probably like any person who thinks about the condition of the human race, I'm also highly prejudiced. And with those grains of salt that you can use with anything I say, then I'll go ahead and make a batch of prejudiced statements. Whenever people feel strongly moved about anything, there's a tendency for them to sit down and write poetry about it, or sometime to burst into song. And that's why we have love songs, we have religious songs, we've got war songs, songs about babies, home. There's class war songs. But tonight we're particularly looking at the angle in songs. Well, it'll come out. Let me sing you fragments of several different songs. One that might have been, was known by probably every single Bostonian a few centuries ago, and they called it Old Hundred. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. And this was not just a religious song. It was a song of people who had a very social outlook. They believed that they were going to set up a new social order. Unfortunately, their opinion of what all people consisted of was a little narrow, I think. You remember what Mark Twain said. The pilgrims first landed on their knees to thank the Lord, and then they landed on the Indians. Here's another song. Some to think it a misfortune to be christened Patterdan, but to me it is an honor to be born an Irishman. It's 100 years ago. It was a popular song in many a Boston bar. It was a song protesting the signs which were up at many a factory gate saying, no Irish need apply. It's an old, old tradition. My guess is it's as old as the human race has been talking and singing. There was a book once, Upton Sinclair, I think, edited it, called The Cry for Justice, and he had poems in there of Egyptian peasants 5,000 years ago complaining that the taxes were too high and there was no justice in the world. In every country, it was a tradition for poets not just to make up lyrics about eternal verities, but to make up highly pointed lyrics about highly contemporary verities. In Arabia, there was a saying that when the king put a poet on his payroll, it was cutting off the tongue of the poet. I've often thought of that when the problem comes up, what do you do if you get offered a good job on television? Now, as I said earlier, people can have very different ideas of what social justice consists of. Today, if one was in either Egypt or Israel, one could find songs passionately convinced that they have 100% of the right as far as social justice went. You could probably find the same opposing viewpoints in our own history. The thing is, we don't know about them. I've often regretted that I've never been able to find out any of the songs, never been able to learn. It's something you'd have to study all your life to really learn well, to learn some of the American Indian songs. So the only songs we know about the Indian Wars present the European side. But it is a fact that in the year 1634, the Massachusetts colony said outright in black and white print that they must exterminate the Pequot race and every squaw and every child, as well as every adult male, was exterminated. Several thousand of them. I don't have any song from that period. 1725 is the nearest I can get. Very popular song in New England, 1725. Of worthy Captain Lovewell, I purpose now to sing how valiantly he served his country and his king. He and his valiant soldiers did range the woods full wide, and hardships they endured to quell the Indians' pride. Oh, 16 verses. I wonder. They came unto this Indian who did them thus defy. As soon as they came nigh him, two guns he did let fly, which wounded Captain Lovewell and likewise one man more. But when this rogue was running, they laid him in his gore. Then having scalped the Indian, they went back to the spot. Well, Benjamin Franklin said, quote, savages we call them because their ways are different than ours. But I'm afraid he was in the minority of the country in his opinion. But we've had songs written by the conquering white race all across our country. Got the famous ballad about hell in Texas. Oh, it's a very funny song, how the devil created Texas. How he put the cactus there, and then when he finished it, he said, this beats hell. But then the last verse says, just dine with a greaser, and then you will shout, I've hell on the inside as well as the out. And of course, you know, if you don't, you should, that the word greaser was a contemptuous term used by the white people of the Southwest for the Mexican Americans. There were songs extolling the the Irish railroad workers that built the railroad to California, and some of them were sung at the big California celebration as soon as the railroad was finished. But the tens of thousands of Chinese laborers who built half of the railroad were not invited even to the celebration. None of their songs appeared. They were coolies. They were chinks. And yet the same people who maybe have been blind in one way fought very hard for democracy in another way, perhaps. Let law and order be the state with freedom and protection. Let all stand by the ballot box for fair and free election. Year of 1800, it was one of the campaign songs around Tom Jefferson's day. And they really were fighting hard because it was, in those days, it was customary for only men of property to be allowed to vote. And there was a big battle on for working men and people who did not own land to also be allowed to vote. Of course, they hadn't gotten so far as to think that women also might have the right to vote. They hadn't gotten so far as to think that perhaps people with dark skins might have a right to vote. Nevertheless, that was a widely sung song. I had thousands of them. If you go through the history books, you can find literally thousands of songs like that. Most of them are poor songs. They are editorials in rhyme. 125 years ago, I think exactly, they had one of the first abolitionist conventions here in Boston, and a group of New Hampshire farm people that loved to sing came and made up a song. Oh, the car emancipation rides majestic through our nation, bearing on its wheels the story, liberty, the nation's glory. Roll it along through the nation, roll it along through the nation, roll it along through the nation, freedom's car emancipation. That was the year 1844. Reason is that the melody was swiped from a pop tune of the day, old Dan Tucker, and they put new words to it. Men of various predilections, frightened, run in all directions, lawyers, editors, physicians, merchants, priests, and politicians. Roll it along through the nation, roll it along through the nation, roll it along through the nation, freedom's car emancipation. The 1840s was also the birth of the woman suffrage movement. They had songs, but as I say, most of these songs get very wordy. They're not really good for singing, and you can dig them out of the library if you want. Warming up to my subject. In the 1880s, there was ferment in the cities and ferment in the countryside. Called it the Farmers' Alliance. Oh, the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down, but the farmer is the man that feeds them all. If you'll only look and see, I think you will agree, the farmer is the man that feeds them all. The farmer is the man, the farmer is the man, lives on credit till the fall. And the interest rate's so high, it's a wonder he don't die. The mortgage man's the one that gets it all. Can't remember the verses of this. It was one of the 8-hour-a-day songs in the 1880s. The labor movement was just getting rolling to demand that 8 hours be the standard hours of work. 6-day week, of course. 8 hours we'll have for labor, 8 hours we'll have for play, 8 hours we'll have for resting in free America. Oh, we're brave and gallant miner boys who work all underground. For courage and good nature, no finer can be found. But as I say, too doggone wordy. I call them editorials in rhyme.
Be your best friend. Gonna help you in every way he can. But when he takes a seat, just the other way. Be careful how you vote on every election day. One that you vote for, ooh, I'd let you die. Come on, you and I, get you up, man. Talk to me. Thank you.
Took the cost of living too. Man's sake, I helped the blind. Senior citizens too. But when it gets in office, y'all, you know it's just the other way. Well, he can't do no more. He rich and you poor. I'm gonna tell you what now. Yeah, you know what, children? I want you, everybody, to kind of think about it. Be careful how you vote. For Bob Story, hey, woo! He just might let you die.
Okay, that was great. I needed that song. All right, you're listening to WGXC Election Special on There, 90.7 FM radio for open ears. I'm going to give you a little early voting information. If you are in the Mid-Hudson Valley, if you live in, because the early voting started yesterday in New York State, and you have until November 1st if you want to do that in person. Works just like regular voting in person. You just show up and stand in line if there's a line and do your thing. So let's see. If you're in Columbia County, there is an early voting location in Hudson. It doesn't matter where you would vote. Whatever part of the county you live in, you can go to, let's see, I got it right here, 401 State Street in Hudson, and you might want to check the website, the Columbia County Board of Elections website for their exact times, because they have different times every day. Yeah, you can Google to find that. All right. If you're in Greene County, you can vote in Catskill at 411 Main Street in the Greene County office building. They also have special hours, so you want to check the Greene County Board of Elections website. If you are in Ulster County, like me, there's actually quite a few places that you can vote early this week. In Woodstock at 56 Rock City Road at the Woodstock Community Center. In Kingston at 467 Broadway at the Midtown Neighborhood Center. In New Paltz at 3 Veterans Drive, New Paltz Community Center. In Lloyd, you can vote at the Highland American Legion at 84 Grand Street. And in Ellenville, at the Ellenville Public Library at 40 Center Street. If you're somewhere else in New York State and you're looking for information, you can go to the New York State Board of Elections website, elections.ny.gov. Hey, why not get it done early? And WGXC will be covering election information and news this week and next. You can always check out the 24-hour news stream at wgxc.org/listen. It's under the list of live streams. There's also on the Wavefarm app, WGXC app for iTunes. You can find that stream there as well. Thanks for listening. We're here until 8 o'clock when Tony Fallon takes over with the Irish Show. And before this, we heard Sunnyland Slim, Be Careful How You Vote, Indeed. Chicago Blues Man, that was from his album of the same name, released in 1989. And before that, Pete Seeger, a recording. Pete Seeger Sings and Answers Questions. That was in Boston. The recording first came out in 1968. Smithsonian Folkways recording. All right, up next, a little more Oscar Brand.
Vacant sign above his White House door.
Get aboard the Freedom Car, cast a vote for FDR. Cactus Jack and Franklin D, they're the ones for me.
The elephant is worried, we've got him in a net. We'll give him such a skinning, he'll wish he could forget. So
get aboard the Freedom Car, cast a vote for FDR. Cactus Jack and Franklin D, they're the ones for me.
I'm not saying one. I'm not saying two. I'm not even saying three. What I am saying is four, five, and six.
May I remind my honored Debbie? May I remind my honored Debbie? May I remind my
honored Debbie? Noises on the radio, megaphones on cars, summons from the street of shame. Bottle talking bars, posters in suburbia, experts on TV. Don't let them disturb you, they're just the powers that be. No matter who you vote for, the government always gets in. No matter who you vote for, the government always gets in.
Oh, great race, suffering nation, awake and set yourself free. Oh, great, great, slumbering nation, awake and vote for me. Or if ever you should need a giant or a leader, don't pin your precious rosette on a pig. I'm as perky as a poodle, and I'm raking in the boodle, and who am I really getting big?
No matter who you vote for, the government always gets in. No matter who you vote for, the government always gets in.
Isn't this and isn't that, isn't it a shame?
promise to me is a sacred contract between... A promise is something... Oh, I know, I've been shameless. A promise is... It's a funny word, isn't it? Probably foreign. I don't know, I'm not a philologist. I'm an ordinary sort of chap. A very big, ordinary sort of big chap. True. But words, they can be so slippery, fellows. I'd rather express feelings. My warmest feelings. Only the other day, I was kissing a French poodle through a photograph. And words again. I saw that printed. I was French kissing a photograph and doing a charming kind of action. Rather modest, but playful action. Well, I promise you, words could not express my feelings. They're feelings. They're funny things.
We might as well give up to die.
Thank you so much. It's a strange moment to be here for me today, because it's election time in India, and today is the day that my city votes. So the lecture today is called A Place for Literature. What better venue than this hall full of history to think together about a place for literature at this moment in time when an era that we think we understand, at least vaguely, if not well, is coming to a close. As the ice caps melt, as oceans heat up, as water tables plunge, as we rip through the delicate web of interdependence that sustains life on Earth, as our formidable intelligence leads us to breach the boundaries between humans and machines, and our even more formidable hubris undermines our ability to connect the survival of our planet to our survival as a species. As we replace art with algorithms and stare into a future in which most human beings may not be needed to participate in or be remunerated for economic activity. At just such a time, we have the steady hands of white supremacists in the White House, new imperialists in China, neo-Nazis once again massing on the streets of Europe, Hindu nationalists in India, and a host of butcher princes and lesser dictators in other countries to guide us into the unknown. While many of us dreamt that another world is possible, these folks were dreaming that too. And it is their dream, our nightmare, that is perilously close to being realized. Capitalism's gratuitous wars and sanctioned greed have jeopardized the planet and filled it with refugees. Much of the blame for this rests squarely on the shoulders of the government of the United States. 17 years after invading Afghanistan, after bombing it into the Stone Age with the sole aim of toppling the Taliban, the US government is back in talks with the very same Taliban. In the interim, it has helped to destroy Iraq, Libya, and Syria. Hundreds of thousands have lost their lives to war and sanctions. A whole region has descended into chaos, ancient cities pounded into dust. Amidst the desolation and the rubble, a monstrosity called Daesh, ISIS, has been spawned. It has spread across the world, indiscriminately murdering ordinary people who had absolutely nothing to do with America's wars. Over these last few years, given the wars it has waged and the international treaties it has arbitrarily reneged on, the US government perfectly fits its own definition of a rogue state. So as we lurch into the future in this blitzkrieg of idiocy, Facebook likes, fascist marches, fake news coups, and what looks like a race towards extinction, what is literature's place? What counts as literature? Who decides? Obviously, there's no single edifying answer to these questions. So if you'll forgive me, I'm going to talk about my own experience of being a writer during these times, of grappling with the question of how to be a writer during these times. When the essays were first published in mass circulation magazines, then on the internet, and finally as books, they were viewed with baleful suspicion, at least in some quarters, often by those who didn't necessarily even disagree with the politics. The writing sat at an angle to what is conventionally thought of as literature. Balefulness was an understandable reaction, particularly among the taxonomy inclined, because they couldn't decide exactly what this was, pamphlet or polemic, academic or journalistic writing, travelogue, or just plain literary adventurism. To some, it simply didn't count as writing. Oh, why have you stopped writing? We're waiting for your next book. But in other places, let's call them places off the highway, the essays were quickly translated into other Indian languages, printed as pamphlets, distributed for free in forests and river valleys, in villages that were under attack, on university campuses where students were fed up of being lied to. Because these readers out there on the front lines, already being singed by the spreading fire, had an entirely different idea of what literature is or ought to be. I mention this because it taught me that the place for literature is built by writers and readers. It's a fragile place in some ways, but an indestructible one. When it's broken, we rebuild it because we need shelter. I very much like the idea of literature that is needed, literature that provides shelter, shelter of all kinds. I remember sitting in a lecture hall in a college in Hyderabad in front of an audience of 500 or 600 students. On my left, chairing the event, was the Vice Chancellor of the university. On my right, a professor of poetry. The Vice Chancellor whispered in my ear, "You shouldn't spend any more time on fiction. Your political writing is the thing to concentrate on." The professor of poetry whispered, "When will you get back to writing fiction? That's your true calling. The other stuff you do is just ephemeral." I have never felt that my fiction and nonfiction were warring factions battling for suzerainty. They aren't the same, certainly, but trying to pin down the difference between them is harder than I imagined. Fact and fiction are not converse. One is not necessarily truer than the other, more factual than the other, or more real than the other, or even in my case, more widely read than the other. All I can say is that I feel the difference in my body when I'm writing. Sitting between the two professors, I enjoyed their contradictory advice. I sat there smiling, thinking of the first message I received from John Berger. It was a beautiful handwritten letter from a writer who had been my hero for many years. "Your fiction and nonfiction, they walk you around the world like your two legs." That settled it for me.
I can't be a pessimist because I'm alive. To be a pessimist means that you have agreed that human life is an academic matter. So I'm forced to be an optimist. I'm forced to believe that we can survive whatever we must survive.
The table about to turn. The table about to turn. The table about to turn.